welcome back to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just don't call me late for dinner. And it's the Christmas edition of the program. It's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Pacific time if you're in Las Vegas. I got a nasty email, so I have to do all the time zones now. 2 a.m. if you're in the Grinch. No. 8 o'clock and you're in the Mountain time zone. 9 o'clock if you're in the Central time zone. And 10 o'clock if you're on the East Coast. This is live on LVRocks.com. And where are we at here? Tonight we'll bring Justin, after the news to me, it'll be the news to you, and then our political discussion with Justin Gardner of the Dunkelfant Centrist Political Blog. And the program, of course, is podcasted here on LVRocks.com. Click on LVRocks.com, and on the left-hand side is podcast. And you click on that, it brings you to where all the programs are podcasted from. You can pick and choose there. And in the second hour, it'll be Eric Berlin. He's not a wrestler, but no, Eric Berlin from blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion, which is heavily influenced by television this week. And the email address for the program is subject, the number 2, discussion at lvrocks.com. And then ending the program, usually it's Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website, but Koenig Rules has asked to be on in her place, and she has graciously agreed to step aside so she can finish her Christmas shopping. And Koenig will be on to give us some Battlestar Galactica news at the end of the program as a Christmas gift to all the fans out there. And apparently now my request for an interview for the new season of whatever the hell it is, the winter season of Galactica has fallen on deaf ears. I had originally had Alessandro Giuliani scheduled to be on the program, who plays Gaeta, to discuss the role in the new season and all that, yada, yada. But now, all of a sudden, I'm not getting a response, and so we'll see what's going on with there. And we do have a live in-studio guest, Trencher from Spankwagon, of which the program is archived on at spankwagon.net. Oh, your mic's not on. I don't think. There you go. Oh, wow. You know how to do that?
I better know how
Welcome
to do that.
Welcome to the Subject to Discussion.
Your engineer kind of sucks. He's missing his cues.
I think it's Rolando sitting there again.
I didn't know you were going to introduce him already.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm not going to ignore him like I would with Con, or with, I'm sorry, with Saab. With Saab or the Goof. You know, he's a highly respected guest in the studio.
Of course, it probably would have been your cue that I couldn't press the button when I'm walking over there. Could have kind of waited.
I waited.
He made the call to try to introduce me. I'm like, well, let's just reach over then.
And well, welcome to Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com. Live.
Live. Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show last week and also those who podcast it. Thank you very much. There you go. And Spankwagon is an excellent program. I've sat in a few times on that. Very good. Very funny.
So this is payback.
You and Claude do an excellent job in the program, I must say.
Thanks.
I do take some credit for bringing Spankwagon to LV Rocks. So.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. No denying
that.
Diggs
can shoot me whenever he wants or throw me out the window here.
No. Well, after maybe a few weeks ago, then he would have. But. We did one of our stupid stunts. There was vomit all over the studio.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, it was
lovely.
Good. It was a lot of fun.
Wonderful. So anyway, and it's the Christmas season. You have a newborn. Not really newborn. It's
oh,
second
a year.
Christmas.
He's
yeah,
a year.
It'll be the second Christmas.
Yeah, it was
right?
A year a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
so.
Congratulations. Yeah,
him and the wife, though, are out in Iowa freezing their butts off.
Iowa. Yeah.
And I voted to stay here in Vegas.
Smart
can't,
man.
Can't handle the snow, can't handle the cold.
Smart man. Actually, should I call you Mark or Trencher? I just blew whatever hell cover you're going.
Well,
I just blew it now.
I guess then whatever. I'll answer to almost anything.
Don't call you anything you want. Just don't call you late for dinner.
Pretty
right
much.
There
well,
you
yeah,
go. That's the slogan of the program.
There you go.
Actually, him and I met at the local yokel wrestling promotion several years back. Well, it was
it's been five years.
Yeah, a lot better than this bozo that runs a promotion now, whatever his name is, Pug, whatever his name is. And, you know, now
Stan,
we've...
Stan, I don't know.
Yeah, Skank, I don't know. But now we both, you know, we kind of boycotted the local wrestling scene because there is none, actually, so...
I think it boycotted us.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll get to the news to me. We'll just, I actually had this quote. I'm not going to say much about this spying business, but except for this quote there from President George W. Bush in April 2004. He said, and I quote, "Durr." No. Now, secondly, there are such things as roving wiretaps. Now, by the way, anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, it requires a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so. It's important for our fellow citizens to understand when you think Patriot Act, constitutional guarantees are in place when it comes to doing what is necessary to protect our homeland because we value the Constitution. So there you go right there. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when Justin comes on, but I don't know.
I thought he just said earlier, was it earlier this week or yesterday when he had his thing, that they were going to continue doing the just wiretaps without court order.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what order he's following, his own rule, I guess. I mean, according to him, in his own statement, well, of course, he could probably say, oh, no, he just said that because it's election year, probably.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's probably why he said that then, but I know now that he does not get court orders for any of the wiretaps that they're putting on.
He just does them.
They're just done now. I mean, it's...
I don't know.
The Patriot Act, I don't know what parts they actually shot down last week, but...
Some of the provisions, well, they were sunset provisions, holding up the whole thing.
The whole thing is a sunset. Yeah. The whole thing has a sunset clause, but they only voted down some of the provisions. They didn't vote them all down.
Yeah.
I haven't dug deep enough to actually look what they voted down.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Feingold, they're all up in arms over it, rightfully
good
so.
Good for him.
Yes. And then Barbara Boxer was on – she was all over the TV today. I saw her in a Situation Room with the Wolf Blitzer. And then I saw her on Countdown without Keith Olbermann, which is pretty much useless without him sitting there. What's her name sitting there? Allison Stewart. And she gave this statement from President Bush with the statement he made at his press conference to some constitutional scholars and seeing if President Bush is violated the Constitution. So we'll see. I hope we don't get into this impeach business because Clinton was impeached. Now if you get Bush impeached, whoever gets in next will be impeached. I mean, it's going to be never ending. I don't think the Republican Congress is going to impeach a Republican sitting president. I doubt it.
No, I highly doubt it. Unless something really, really bad happens. I know that there was like some quote going around that is unverifiable saying that Bush said that, quit shoving the Constitution in my face. It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to find the source of this quote. So, I mean, when I saw that, before I kind of did my digging and trying to see if I could find a source, I was like, dude, if screwing around with another woman is impeachable, this absolutely has to have something you can...
Exactly.
There's something you can do about this.
Well, I found that quote, strangely enough. I was looking for it, too. I found it on CapitolHillBlues.com. It's a website done by a journalist named Doug Thompson. He had the quote on his website.
But where did it reference from? Everybody has the quote. No one knows where it's referencing from.
Yeah, I don't know.
I kind of have to discredit it,
Yeah, it was on his site, and then something the White House staffers talk about, and Bush said it's just a piece of paper, but all the presidents have said they're trying to get around the Constitution because they're constitutionally restricted. So, but anyway, now actually I want to update people. I got a private message about this plane that was having problems in Boston landing. It did land safely in Boston. It was a Midwest Express airline that was going from Boston to Milwaukee, and apparently there were sparks coming off the back of the plane. Apparently, I was heading for Milwaukee, but the plane did land safely. So that's your breaking news update. I should get like a sound like Fox News has, breaking news. Yeah, there you go. So, and also news to me from last Wednesday was Louisiana Governor Blanco and Mayor Nagin testifying on the Hill about mistakes over Katrina, and Blanco insisted. Now this is different than we've been hearing in the media, that she did ask for help all the time and that the government was slow with delivering the help. So CNN had a poll that 54% are saying the rebuilding efforts are not enough. Not enough's happening in New Orleans, according to the public opinion polls. So I don't know. We'll never get to the bottom of that. I mean, just clearly something's got to be done. We got to rebuild those levees and make them stronger and higher than they were before. They want to build it. Bush did sign a spending bill of $3 billion to retrofit and also reinforce the levees in New Orleans. So let's hope so. And also Wednesday, and Paul is on now on CNN. They ran a report on human body part trafficking. Apparently, funeral homes are trafficking in body parts. Before they close the casket or somehow, I don't know how they're doing it. I didn't see the whole report.
Yeah, it's called organ donor.
Yeah.
Illegal.
Illegal. Sorry.
Illegal. And this one guy had an urn which he thought, or he thinks, was holding his late father's ashes or some of his ashes. But an investigation revealed body parts from dead people are being sold by funeral homes without the donor or the donor's family's knowledge. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the report of death report from the man. Now, the man's father was stricken with cancer, but apparently the death certificate was changed to, you know, some regular malady. So now whoever's getting these body parts or skin tissue, whatever, it's cancer inflicted.
They're getting cells that could possibly be cancerous.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And the son is worried. Yeah, the son says, quote from CNN, Nepal is on now. Their son is worried about recipients who are now walking around with cancer-stricken body parts.
Well, so, I say they need to find out anybody who's buying large quantities of ice. Mm-hmm. And getting a lot of overnight hotel rooms, or even by the hour hotel rooms, you'll find someone there.
And they're selling those igloo coolers by the truckload at
Walmart. Yeah, igloo coolers, you know.
And then we had USA Today said that the Pentagon to spend $300 million to get pro-American press into foreign media around the world without acknowledging the press is paid for by U.S. taxpayer dollars. Then again, I say I'll take a couple million of that to do pro-Bush propaganda on this program. They give me a couple million. Hell, I'll do it. Right?
Oh, and what
I don't have any scruples. I'll sell
out. Yeah, what cost your integrity?
I don't have any, so I'll sell it out anyway.
You need a buck. Don't I got forget, $5. And
I was in the wrestling business for a
while.
You
were in the wrestling
business. I have no integrity whatsoever now. Even less doing this show. No, I'm resuscitating my credibility on this program. I do hope.
There you go.
And then, of course, we had John Spencer passed away from The West Wing. He played Leo McGarry on The West Wing. And, oh, man, I've watched that show since it started. It's excellent. Even now, it's good with the race between Alan Alda and Jimmy Smits. And McGarry was Jimmy Smits' character as a running mate. So they haven't decided yet how they're going to deal with the character. They're toying around, from what I understand, with the idea of keeping the character on using clever images or past episode appearances or appearances that were cut on the cutting room floor, using that like they did in Sopranos with that woman that passed away, Nasty. What was her name? She was the mother of Tony Soprano.
I don't know, but I do know who you're talking
about. She played Lou Grant's boss, Nancy Marchand. Anyway, and she died, and it kept her alive for several episodes by re-editing some footage of her, so we'll see. And then Thursday we had the Iraqi election. Apparently 11 million people voted, and the winner is John Kerry. Won. No. So we'll see. I hope so.
The winner is the person who supplies the purple ink.
The purple ink. And the winner, I hope, is the Iraqi people, that this is a step further.
You mean it wasn't Ross Perot?
Now listen here.
Second sound.
Now listen here, America. I got a flow chart for you. Let me go ahead and borrow some of that purple ink now, and let me tell you what's going on here. Now, what I plan on doing.
Now, Larry, can you let me speak for a minute?
come on now, Larry. Larry, let me just point this out now, Larry. Thank you.
Sioux Falls. Hello. No. Everybody's doing our Larry King of his script.
And now
New York City. Hello. Anyway,
need some chloroseptic after that.
I will. I'm
get a
my
cough
voice.
Drop. Yeah.
You better be ready to take over.
What?
Subject to Spankwagon, this will be called. Bush and McCain came to terms on the ban against torture by the U.S. That's good. Any mention of the...
As long as you don't call the show Subject to Spanking.
Oh, hello. That might be a spin-off late
that's
edition.
That's after the show. That's two shows
Where's,
later.
What the hell her name is? Heather Lynn. Not like the subject to her to a spanking. Anyway, but you know what? They said the United States personnel cannot torture people. They didn't say anything about private contractors doing the torturing. They could lease out this torturing to outside contractors, and they could torture people.
Blackwater.
There you go.
You know, the Blackwater Corporation, the same people they brought in to do police patrols mm-hmm. in New Orleans.
Yes. So, I mean, what's to stop them from leasing the torture out to I'm using the wrong word. Rendition. It's rendition.
Yes. But yes. Have they gone on to talk about the prisons in Eastern Europe that they've been using?
No, in Poland specifically.
Yeah.
And don't forget, last week I gave out the plane registration tail numbers on the program here, so I should be arrested pretty soon by the government. two planes specifically, I gave out the tail numbers. So,
No.
Yeah. And what else we had? And we had Friday, also Thursday, they're going to spend the money on the levees in New Orleans. Friday was General George Casey during a press conference from Iraq, saying that the election was a major step for Iraq. there was a long way to go. And also I saw in the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer had an interview with the first African woman president of Liberia. So that's good. That's good. It's funny. She says she was on there. She goes, they hope that Liberia can teach the United States a few lessons about how they're the first country to have a woman and an African woman as a president of that country. And we have yet to elect a minority or even a woman right. to the White House here in the
but
United States.
But we have Arnold.
We have Arnold. We have Arnold. Yes, the groper in chief. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Saturday we had journalist Jack Anderson passed away, Whispering Jack Anderson, who used to do the column in over 1,000 newspapers. So he was quite influenced a lot of journalists. I saw Howard Kurtz was on Reliable Sources. He was giving him a nice little nod. You know, he was one of his influence. He worked for Jack Anderson for a while. And what else? And then Sunday we had Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon had a mild stroke. And apparently he's doing well. They say he's in great health. How could he be in great health weighing that much? And that guy is huge. You know, the doctor probably should tell him, go on a diet, mister. You know what I mean?
Or they're fattening him up for secret organ transplants and funeral and corruption.
Sell him off. And,
do you want to be famous? Here's his liver. Now you're a famous person with a liver.
How about some skin?
Face transplant. There you go.
No, I'm talking about the unfriendliest cut of all. You know, ooh, Israeli boys do not. I know this from firsthand experience. But
okay,
let's move on.
This is making me uncomfortable and slightly queasy.
Yeah, President Bush okaying the NSA to spy on Americans. That's blew open. It's all everybody's talking about is this business. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. And Sunday, we also had 60 Minutes, actor Morgan Freeman says he does not like the Black History Month. He says Black history is American history and shouldn't be restricted to a month, especially the shortest month of the year.
Let alone 28 days.
Yeah.
29 on
leap year in presidential elections. And then it's a small plane crash off of Miami Beach that killed several babies.
All
among
19.
Others.
All 19passengers.
All 19.
I think they were working on bringing that one up today.
Yeah. Yeah, they saw it. It wasn't that deep of water, but the footage of that crash was unbelievable. And Tuesday, today, Bush said in 2004 that wiretaps must be done with a court order. I read that quote. And Robert Boxer, again, was given Bush's statements to constitutional scholars after Nixon lawyer John Dean said Bush violated the law and the Constitution. So anyway, and we'll get to the news to you. There you go. And what's going on in the chat room there? Can I lease the torture? Mike the C. Oh, yeah. He's some for his customers. And scores of pilot whales stranded on New Zealand beach. Several have died. This is from Wellington, New Zealand. Rescuers struggled Wednesday to free more than 100 pilot whales beached on New Zealand's South Island, but at least 19 have died. About 100 conservation workers and volunteers rushed to keep the surviving members of the pod covered with moisture, hoping the upcoming high tide will ease animals' return to sea. So the first whale beached itself Tuesday afternoon, and the rest followed shortly thereafter. So we wish the whales good luck in their return to sea. And any caviar, caviar has been banned in the United States, by the way. Beluga, I think, has been banned. So,
word has it here in Vegas, several whales are heading down to the buffet right now.
Well, yeah, with the one with 2 feet, two legs.
2 feet, two legs, and a lot of money in that wallet.
Absolutely. And also Tuesday.
Hey, maybe enough for you to sell the rest of your morals.
There you go. I don't got any. Yeah, I'm rebuilding my morals in this program. Don't forget.
Oh, okay.
I lost them all in Tap Out. I'm getting them all back in this one. and of course, that once in a while when I sit in for Diggs or Con on Daily Noise, you know, I haven't done that in a while. But anyway, wife of Jeff Osteen asked to leave the plane. This is from that Bible thumper from Texas. Wife of the pastor of the nation's largest church was asked to leave a plane after she failed to comply with a flight attendant's instructions, the FBI said on Tuesday. Houston Lakewood Church pastor Joel Osteen, his wife Victoria, and their two children boarded a Continental Airlines flight from Houston to Vail. The plane's door had been closed when Victoria Osteen and a flight attendant had a disagreement. She failed to comply with the flight attendant's instructions and asked her to leave the flight. So they all got off the plane. They flew to Colorado. And I guess they all live happily after. Boy, that's not very Christian of them, is she? Huh?
I don't know. I don't see why religion has anything to do with flying. Well, you're telling me because you're religious you can't disagree?
I hate
buck the system a little? Bucking the system?
I guess we got to know what the instructions were. If it was fasten your seatbelt, then I could see, you know, we got to see what the instructions were.
Or shut your holy damn kids up or, you know, something.
I mean, come on. You're on a plane. I don't care who you are. Yeah, I mean, some of these people, they act like they're, you
well,
know,
no, no, no.
Holier
it's not always the people on the plane. It's the people who are scared crapless on the plane. Mm-hmm. The people who are paranoid about everything, thinking that, you know, because someone sneaked a pair of nail clippers in on their shoes, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Anyway, what were they saying about the White History Month? Oh, yeah, I don't think...
White History Month.
Who
are they going to profile in White History Month? Yeah. Here's Jethro. He was the first person to...
I don't think we should have a specific Black History Month, White History Month, whatever the hell it is.
I can agree with
history.
I can agree with just history.
History.
It's just history.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know why we have to have a... it's just me. I don't know. It's my public school upraising, I guess. I don't know. And then we had this from today as well. The Cajun Dome seeks toilet flushers. This is a job for the goof, I guess, if he wants to get employed. Lafayette's Cajun Dome is looking for volunteers to flush more than 200 toilets in the building. About 70 volunteers are needed to participate in the Great Cajun Dome Flush-Off, set for 6 p.m. on December 27th. The Cajun Dome and Convention Center housed 17,000 evacuees of the hurricanes, blah, yada, yada.
Hey.
But the sewer system is messed up.
This will answer that age-old question that if during the Super Bowl everybody flushed the toilet at the same time, would it destroy the sanitary system?
We'll see if
they may be able to test this on, you know, kind of a Mythbusters thing.
We'll see if the Cajun Dome explodes in sewage or not. Huh?
Sewage bomb. Mm.
The FEMA.
Did you just say like you go home for a nice raw cup of sewage? Mmm.
That'd be interesting.
Don't call me late for dinner. Poo's on the table.
Yum. FEMA denied a request to inspect the sewer system with a camera. So to test the plumbing before hosting an event in January, a minimum of 70 volunteers needed to spend 15 to 20 minutes flushing toilet paper down 220 or so toilets. Apparently, they found all kinds of crap, literally, in the toilet. They found, like, bricks. What else was left in there? Things like brick wrapped in a towel was in one of the toilets, in the pipes. A T-shirt and diapers were shoved down the toilet. That's lovely. 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 Trash cans. We can't think people use damn trash cans. You know, I work at Caesars, and then, you know, people can't find the trash at the damn hotel, and, you know, it drives me nuts. You walk into the men's room, there's paper towels are on the damn floor, right in front of the garbage can, which is half empty. And or you see the snots in the sink. People are blowing their nose in the damn sink. Or sitting there and look at the way you're doing your thing in the urinal. You see the dried snot on the wall. I mean, what the hell?
Are you a janitor?
No.
Get over it.
These people should learn their damn manners. And you blow your nose in a damn Kleenex, and you throw it in the garbage, and you wash your hand. You dry it with a paper towel, and you throw the towel in the garbage. Your mother doesn't work at that hotel. Yeah. Anyway, this is speaking of stomachs. Tuesday, stomach acid drugs may raise the risk of diarrhea. This is from Chicago. Popular anti-heartburn drugs such as the proton pump inhibitors that block stomach and acid production heighten the risk of an increasingly common infectious form of diarrhea, researchers said on Monday. There you go.
Holy shit.
There you go. Taking such drugs as Nexium and Losec, and their generic versions tripled the risk of diarrhea, blamed on the
Jesus, what a fucking stink!
And the Clostridium difficile, whatever the hell this is, bacteria, that causes apparently a bad form of diarrhea. Apparently, cases...
What kind of bullshit is that?
Apparently, the cases of this kind of diarrhea rose to 22 per 100,000 people in 2004. So,
what the shit is that?
Yeah, watching this Zantac and whatever the hell is H2.
I'm not feeling too good.
There you go.
Oh, thank you, God.
Wow.
Then we had this. Hundreds gather for Tookie Williams' funeral. That's how the Tookie crumbles.
Hundreds.
Right?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Crowds gathered in the tens.
And I am happy.
There you go.
I'm happy.
Celebrities from hip-hop star Snoop Dogg to motivational speaker Tony Robbins. What is he doing there?
Well,
he's like Jesse Jackson. He's like a damn moth to a spotlight. lamented the execution of Stanley Tookie Williams at a funeral Tuesday that drew hundreds to the violence-wrecked area.
A crowd of tens.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for this guy at all. I mean, he killed that family and that poor girl. Yeah, and he shot the little girl in the face. I mean, come on.
But he wrote children's books, and that puts him right there with Dr. Seuss.
I debunked that last week. The one book only sold 300 something issues. The second book sold like 20 issues. I could get nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. So all they have is some professor write a nominating letter to the Nobel Committee. Yeah. You could be nominated for Nobel, or Con Solar could be nominated for a Nobel Prize. How about
that?
What
has he done for humanity? Yeah, he's done crap for humanity. He has not done anything. He has not done anything for humanity.
Yeah, he's a hell of a producer. There you go.
Yeah, can't even nominated. Miss his cue. Oh, I'm fixing the camera. Mic 3. Thank you.
And there we are here. Well,
someone
you know this.
Better shut their gob hole.
There you go. At the funeral, vendors were at the funeral selling T-shirts with William picture, and a large TV set up in the parking lot allowed the overflow crowds and clowns probably to watch the service. I mean, what is this?
Are a meathead.
There you go. I think the
What was the lady that was hanging out at George Bush's ranch? Was she there?
Sandy Sheehan?
You know, that's sort of like a moth to fire situation.
She is. I said as soon as I saw she was aligning herself with the liberal groups, I felt sorry for her.
You quit becoming a liberal?
No. I don't think she's lost credibility because
she is in league with you.
If she would have maintained her independence and not aligned herself with MoveOn.org and all that, as a grieving mother over the loss of her son over in the war in Iraq, I would have been more on her side. But when she sold out to these liberal groups, I gave up. And then now she's written a book and everything. I don't know.
You have been nominated, by the way, for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you.
Yes.
Ooh, very good. Mike the C is nominating me. Very good. You got to be a professor, though, and you got to send it to the Nobel Prize Committee. Anyway, General Motors skids to 18-year low. Shares tank as production plans for rival Toyota. There you go. That's a Toyota, whatever the Sentra. They make the Sentra. I don't have a Toyota.
You know what? Not only is it tanked, but they're actually going to have to recall several hundred thousand vans as
really?
Well.
So Toyota or GM?
I was just actually, this is General Motors. I was just reading it just 10 minutes ago.
Wow.
They're going to have to do a huge recall on GM vans.
There's a lot of them now. Ford has some recalls, which I mentioned on this program, and several others. Shares of General Motors fell to an 18-year low on Tuesday after Toyota unveiled production plans for 2006, increasing fears that GM will be toppled.
Fears of bland cars on the freeway.
Absolutely, by a Japanese rival as the world's largest automaker. General Motors has fallen apart. My uncle works for General Motors in the parts plant in Chicago in Broadview, as a matter of fact. And, I mean, these cars, he gets all this vacation time. No wonder the car company's going broke. He gets 12 weeks of vacation a year. He gets all this damn personal time off. I mean, what the hell?
That's crap. Over in Europe, what they will do is they give you that much vacation. They give you several weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
I don't buy that theory. Mm. I don't really buy that theory at all because
nobody's buying their cars.
It's the vehicles themselves, the fit and finish. Matter of fact, I'm a car guy. I went out and we were looking at those new HHRs. I was very unimpressed. I actually went to one of their whole test drive. You drive all the GM vehicles, and then they give you an assortment of other companies' vehicles to drive and compare.
Mm.
The GM vehicles really overall did not impress me. Because their fit and trim wasn't there. You could see mold marks, you know, things like that. Things didn't fit together. Things squeaked. The rides were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, for what I'm used to. Granted, I'm a Chrysler guy, but, you know, and I was trying to give a lot of the GM vehicles, and I gave some of them really high numbers. Mm. But, you know, it's fit and finish. It's also quality. I mean, you know, they're trying to pump out all these vehicles. You know, they were making a big thing over 10 vehicles in a year, but They're crap. I mean, they're not as well built as they should be. If they built them a little bit better, you know, higher quality. Drive a Saab. A Saab is a GM, and I love Saab. Their cars are very comfortable.
Somebody has to love them. Yes.
You know, they're very comfortable. They're great to drive. You fit in them well. Bring some of that over. Yeah. Do like what Chrysler did with Mercedes and bring some of that over to their line.
True. Well, personally, I'll never drive a car with the name Saab on it, but that's just me personally.
What, are you a little bit of racist there, huh?
There you go. I don't want to drive anything with his name on it. Anyway, I don't know. GM, you know what? Maybe they boost the damn miles per gallon to like 40 miles a gallon. People start buying the cars in droves again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to that? Like I said, when Carter was in, he had a thing that by 1980, he wanted the miles MPG to be like 30 miles per gallon. And, of course, when Reagan got in, all that went out the window. I mean, we got to get back to that. Increase the damn fuel efficiency on these cars.
I don't think the fuel efficiency is what's the problem. I think just
quality.
The quality and the cars and how they look and act. Mm-hmm. That's what's really driving people away.
Yeah.
You know.
And what else we have? This from from Monday. Police shoot dog during pursuit. Officer feared for his safety during chase. This is from Imperial Beach, California. A dog is dead after police pursue two car theft suspects through the South Bay Wednesday. What the hell was this last one? 10 news
French
reported.
Poodle activists are up in arms.
The incident happened about 10 a.m. when officers spotted the stolen car on Coronado Avenue. The driver refused to stop and led a pursuit that went into Interstate 5 and came to an end in Imperial Beach. The driver of the stolen car then got out and ran into the backyard of several homes. An officer pursued the suspect into a backyard, and a large dog came at the officer. Fearing for his safety, he was forced to pull a service weapon and fire at the dog.
What they don't tell you is the officer stands 4'10", and the dog was a French poodle.
And, it's terrible. I mean, you know, dogs are so important to people, and they have this happen. It's like the second or third one this year we've had of cops going in the
If you train a dog to bite someone, screw the dog. Shoot him.
Well, no, maybe the dog...
Shoot him!
Well, no, maybe the dog was running to it. There you go. What happened to the yapper we had last week? What happened to the princess?
Dude, the princess. Okay, here's the thing. If the dog is running at you baring teeth, I've been bitten several times when I was a kid because I do stupid things like throw rocks at dogs. But, you know, the thing is, if they're coming at you, yes.
Well, maybe it's coming up to play with them or something. You never know what these dogs are thinking.
Play? Dude, if I say sick, kill, whatever, or whatever word I choose to use, that's probably what's going on
probably.
Here.
And man pleads not guilty in killings of wife and three daughters. A Fort Wayne man from Fort Wayne, Indiana, says he's not guilty of killing his wife and three daughters.
Wow!
There you go. 33-year-old Simon Rios pleaded not guilty to 4 preliminary counts of murder and 2 counts of moving a body. He was being held in Allen County Jail.
Wait, 2 counts of moving a body?
Yes. I don't know. Whose body... I don't know.
Come on, Grandma. Oh, shit.
A court record says Rios told police that he beat and strangled his wife and killed their 3 children after the couple argued about him doing chores around the house.
So that's 4, but he only got 2 counts of moving the body on 4 bodies.
One didn't count, I guess.
2 didn't count.
2 for the price of 1,
there
I guess.
You go. They probably bucketed them together.
Discount him.
He threw him in the same sheet in the trunk.
They can't count in Indiana. You know?
But I hear he's looking at selling the parts to a funeral home.
For thousands of dollars
in a bucket of ice.
And the document says that inside the home, officers found a puddle of blood on the living room floor and found Rio's wife and a couple's 3 children dead in a bedroom. Horrible around Christmas. It's horrible. Yeah, what's with these people? Unbelievable. And his next one's from O'Hare Airport in Chicago. A crowd control call to O'Hare International Airport. It was not to welcome the White Sox back to town, but it was something later.
Everybody was in line for Gold Coast dogs.
There you go. United long lines and short on staff. Crowd control was called to Chicago's O'Hare International Airport on Saturday. Hundreds of travelers waited for hours to check their luggage. Some of the lines reached outside the terminal, leaving some people out in the cold. A spokesman from United said that displaced passengers and aircraft from storms in other parts of the country, of course, led to the backup. Some travelers say the problem stemmed from behind the desk with slow workers. So people were mad. Yeah, airport. I used to work at O'Hare, at the O'Hare Hilton. And, man, it gets cold at that airport. So I feel sorry for those people that are stuck outside, you know?
They were talking about taking the people and sending them over to Midway. However, the place was too short, and they were skidding off the side of the building.
There you go. And it's a huge airport. Anybody's been to O'Hare? No, it's a nightmare getting
through
that thing.
Every time I've been to O'Hare, every time, always under construction. Like, they put walls up, and it feels like you're in a rat's maze. There's cheese. I know there's cheese. My luggage is at cheese.
Yeah, and then 3 hours the Hilton's there. And
Doc!
There you go. And then with the Hilton there, we had to park at some outside lot, and we went out there fearing for our lives half the time. You know, like, oh, my God.
That's because you're white.
Back of the airport.
Get the dogs on.
And, of course, this is the biggest debacle I've heard. Time honors Bill and there you go. Wow. Bill and Melinda Gates and Bono as Persons of the Year. Whatever the hell his name is. Sonny Bono. Sonny Bono.
He's
been dead. I don't know who the hell he is.
Bono.
Sonny Bono. What the hell is he doing in there? But, I mean, really, this is ridiculous. Why these 3? I thought the
Well, charitable contributions for Bill and Melinda Gates.
It's ridiculous.
Charitable contributions for Bill and Melinda Gates. I don't know why Bono. Or Bono. Or Bobo.
Sonny Bono.
Bobo.
Who put up a share for all those years. They gave to him posthumously. But really, no. Why wasn't Mother Nature Person of the Year? For crying out loud. I mean, we got the damn hurricanes and the earthquake in Pakistan and the tornadoes here and the winter weather. I mean, that's not Person of the Year.
Libel.
I don't know who the hell is. Libel.
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 She didn't
Mother
want to
Nature.
Be misrepresented.
I mean, really, I think Mother is... Oh, that's Justin Dunkelman on the phone? Oh, all right. And I think we're ready for Justin from the Dunkelman blog. Justin, are you there? There you go. There you go, Justin.
That was a great intro.
There you go. Sorry for the delay. I have an in-studio guest, so we're doing a little more bantering than normal on the program.
Yeah,
so.
Who's this?
That's Trencher from the Spankwagon program, who is kind enough to archive the program for me.
I like the banter, guys.
Banter? Uh-huh. And he does his own program. That's a lot. There you go. That's a lot better.
One more.
We're running out of time here. It'll be all sound effects.
There we go.
I think if your has a choice, that's all it's going to be.
Yeah. But,
what are you doing beating up on Bobo?
Bobo?
Bobo.
Yeah.
Ooh, Bono or Bodo? Bono?
Bono. Yeah. No, I mean, like, you guys, he does a lot, you know, to get these different people to
pledge
millions upon millions of money for the kids in Africa.
Well, you know.
That's nonsense.
I still think the most dominating, that's supposed to be the most dominating thing from the year is Mother Nature, I think. It's dominated the year in news. I mean, like I said, the hurricanes, you had the earthquake, you had the tornadoes,
not to mention the floods.
The leftover from the tsunami, don't forget that. I mean, it happened at the end of this year, but I mean, it affected all of last year.
Yeah,
so I mean, yeah. So, Justin, now we want to talk to you about this Bush's wiretap BS. Now, what do you think about that?
I'm pretty concerned about it. I think that this is clearly overreaching. Some other people don't, and that's been demonstrated in the blogosphere over the past day and a half.
Oh, the blogosphere is up in arms.
Oh yeah. It's great. A lot of people are pissed off. A lot of people are defending it. Some people even on Donklefon have been saying like, good. I'm glad they're wiretapping. But I think that there's a big distinction here, and we need to make sure that it's made where it's not just they're not just wiretapping, and they're not just monitoring like people who could possibly be terrorists. Mm-hmm. They're monitoring like peace activists. They're monitoring kind of normal Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed as if they if Bush has basically said that he has essentially, absolute authority to do whatever he wants to protect the American people. Now, I understand that, but that's kind of crazy if you think about it.
Well,
right? I mean, that means that he can do anything he wants at any time to quote unquote protect the American people. And well, it's kind of one of those catch-22 things because you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, this goes back to what Rumsfeld used to say, right? And you have all this wiretap action going on, and we don't know what we don't know, and that's what we're trying to find out. But this type of policy is essentially I believe is unconstitutional. I believe it's actually breaking the law.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the New York Times, they sat on the story for over a year because apparently President Bush asked them to sit on the story, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure why. Well, I understand. I think I know why Bush asked him to sit on the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is politically damaging. It looks like it's politically damaging. People are already talking about impeachment.
Barbara Boxer was on all the programs today screaming about impeachment as well. She's given that statement in April 2004, which I see is also on your Dunkelfant blog.
Right. That was a lie. Yeah. He essentially lied.
Because he was tapping us back then, right?
Oh yeah, he said that there were
tapping
no roving wiretaps, and that was that we what was it? We value the Constitution, and I mean that was just flat out a lie.
Yeah.
Now sometimes presidents have to lie to their people, to keep them safe. But once I started finding out what these wiretaps have been used for, to look at to like monitor PETA, to monitor a group like a gay rights group that was against the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, military policy. The warning flags went up. I mean, this was weird. This is going beyond the scope of the types of groups that we should be monitoring. Mm-hmm.
We're
talking about 10, 12, 13 degrees separation, from anybody who would be involved in any type of terrorist activity. So it just seems really, really odd. I don't know. I mean, where else will these powers lead? Right? I mean, if you have a president who says he has absolute authority to protect the people, where will that lead next?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It does seem like that they think they're above even the Constitution. I mean, we talk about what Bush said about the Constitution. He said it's a worthless piece of crap.
Well,
you know?
That's unsubstantiated.
Worthless piece
of paper. We don't know where that came from, but yeah.
Now, have you heard about that statement that President Bush apparently referred to the Constitution as a worthless piece of paper?
Quote, shoving the Constitution in my face. It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah.
But it's something it's floating around. But,
yeah.
I'm definitely gonna wait until. I mean, because that sounds like something that is will never be substantiated, right?
Yeah. Well, who leaked this wiretap business to the New York Times? Somebody in administration or somebody had to leak this to them, huh?
It seems like somebody within the government. And
who?
A lot of people have been saying like go after the leaker, and I say yeah, go after the leaker.
And who is it though? Who would be the leaker? Somebody had a.
I have no idea. I think it's somebody within the intelligence community.
Wow.
Because a leak right after the election.
Hmm.
And, they, you know, since the New York Times is going to run with this last year, right after the election, I think it was in December 2004.
If this
would have
ran,
don't you think this could be a leak for a leak?
Leak for a leak?
Yeah.
If this would have ran last year before the election, Bush would have gotten thrown out on his ear, huh?
I don't know. What's been really interesting to see is that the reaction of people saying, on the left and on the right, how the people on the right, like I said, somebody on Donclafon, Denise Best, she said, "Good, I'm glad we have wiretaps."
Oh.
And I think that I think 9/11 changed a lot of people's minds as to what types of civil liberties they care about.
Yeah.
Because Denise, I think she thinks, well, I don't have anything to hide. And only people who have something to hide are going to, are gonna find fault with this. Now, I definitely disagree with that, but I think that you have a considerable amount of the American population falling somewhere in that type of logic. They're like, okay, well, we don't want another terrorist attack on our soil, and we will give up certain freedoms in order to keep us safe. And that concerns me. And I don't agree with that. But that's why we have Bush in for another 4 years.
This is Trencher here. I was just thinking about it. He's obviously. They're obviously wiretapping people who don't have anything to hide, who are actually very willing to put everything out in front.
Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, these activists are completely willing to go out there and like put themselves out there and be on the front line, regardless of whether you agree with what they're saying or not.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't know.
The gay group they were having a kiss in, right? It was kind of like a walk in or a sit in, and that's. And they were.
It was a threat, right? Having a gay kiss is a threat to the national security of the United States. My God, can't let them kiss.
Yeah, right? It just doesn't make any sense. And from what I've been reading, even people at the American Enterprise Institute, even conservative scholars have been saying that like this is a big deal.
Oh.
I mean, he broke the law, and he's essentially saying
he admitted it.
At least in his news conference, he was like, it's ridiculous that this was leaked.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we better look and see if this is really legal or not, because that is not clear.
I don't know.
And he
it's
obviously
horrible.
Thinks that it's clear. And,
absolutely horrible.
But it is not clear to me, and is not clear to a lot of people, including conservative scholars.
Yeah. And the timing couldn't have been worse. I mean, the news is relatively quiet right now. I mean, you got the Christmas season, and all of a sudden this blows up, and it's all they're gonna be talking about through the rest of the year. I mean, it's this Bush spying on the American people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
that's these things have a tendency to come out. And you know what? If he wants to go after the leaker, if he wants to find that person, and try to prosecute that person, I think that he should.
Well, this is more important than that.
I think we'll see, where the public opinion sways on that person, blowing the whistle on something that essentially looks on its face like it could be illegal.
Yeah, I mean, this is more important than this Valerie Plame business. I say we shelve that and dig into this, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's, you know, that one has to run its course, well, and this one will run its course,
well,
too.
I mean,
yeah.
We'll not only that, but
on
media censorship and everything with what he asked the New York Times to do.
Yeah, and the New York New York Times, I mean, you got to admit, like Nixon wanted to shut that paper down years ago. I bet you Bush is thinking the same thing, the way to shut that paper down, but I don't know. Now, what about you want to talk about the judge bars? I saw that today, too, the intelligent design talk. Yeah, Dover School Board's decision, an attempt to insert conservative Christian values into the public school system. So now, what about that now? That's been brewing. That was that teacher that got beat up or something, right?
No, the teacher got beat up was in Kansas.
Oh, Kansas.
Dover was the one, I believe, in Pennsylvania.
Ah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
it was Pennsylvania.
And they, federal judge essentially ruled that this was not the right venue to have intelligent design, and you know it did not meet the standard of any type of science.
Mm-hmm.
I for one am really, really glad that this is happening. You saw a lot of what was really kind of sad to see, and what I was really disappointed in is to see people like McCain mm-hmm. to say like, well, I think all types of things should be taught about, you know.
he's just kissing up to the conservatives.
About the creation of the world, right? And
yeah.
and you know that there's a great site out there. It's called the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
FSM.
What's that?
FSM and his noodly appendage.
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, so this guy kind of puts forth this rather absurd, you know, proposition that a flying spaghetti monster created the world. But when you see these very nebulous type of quotes from people like Bush, mm-hmm. from people like McCain, you know, who say, like, I think all sorts of things should be taught, you know, to our children, well, then you have to include the flying spaghetti monster. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like, I mean, if, you know, essentially because there isn't any proof, mm-hmm. you know, any demonstrable proof that this is, you know, that this was the type of thing that belongs in a science class, then yeah. you have to include all the other things.
Well, I mean, and it goes to the thing of separation church and state, I believe. I mean,
yeah,
we talk
absolutely.
About this before. I'm a big a secularist. Keep the church and state, it got to be separate. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Just got to keep it separate. And this is blurring those lines even more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, if you want a world religions class,
mm-hmm.
If you want
to teach creationism
and creationism and like literature,
yeah.
history, you know, some sort of something else like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's okay. I mean, as long as you don't mandate it, you know,
absolutely.
I think it should be an elective. I think mm-hmm. it is something that, you know, that the kids should choose.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be mandated that they have to like study religion.
Yeah, well,
you know, especially in a public school setting. It's just,
absolutely.
You know, I don't have any problem with kids learning about religion. I think it's very valuable that kids learn about all religions so they can see the similarities between all of them, and they can see that, you know, it's not just about Christianity or, you know, or Islam or you know, Judaism. It's, you know, it seems like they're kind of sharing kind of a common theme and common goals, you know, and when you really boil it down to the essence. But yeah, the separation of church and state, it's extremely important, and
mm-hmm.
we need to make sure that we maintain that. Otherwise, we're going to keep slipping into the same stupid argument that we do. Like, you know, I cannot believe that we have school boards around the country actually saying, you know, we need to teach intelligent design right alongside evolution, you know, in a science class.
I know that there's one school
ridiculous.
District.
It's not science, you know?
Mm.
I know there's one school district that's actually approaching it as mythology.
Oh.
Yeah, well, hey, listen.
It's probably the best way to handle
okay
it.
I'm okay with that, you know? I'm completely
well,
okay with that.
Well,
I mean,
how come
you're talking about intelligent design as mythology, right?
Well,
yes.
Why can't these schools get back to teaching our kids English, math, and, you know, every week we're legions of idiots are coming out of our school system here in the country. You know, we should be paying attention to math, English. These kids don't even know how to speak English. They're all blah, 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 blah. You know, and how to dress, social studies, home economics. They should be knowing how to balance their damn checkbooks. books. And these kids are coming out like a bunch of doofuses of our school system. You know, we should be paying attention to drop this damn religion stuff and teach these kids how to add and subtract and all this stuff. I mean, and balance their checkbook. I mean, you know, our country's going down to hell in a handbasket, and it's the education system. We got to get back, you know, and make these schools year-round schools. You know, these kids shouldn't be off for the summer. Why are we the only industrialized country that gives our kids the whole damn summer off? It's ridiculous. You know, keep them in 12 months out of the year and get our education standards back up over the Europeans and the Japanese like we once were. You know?
You know why? You know why? Because our government does not make education a priority.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have. I mean, the No Child Left Behind thing is one of the most perfect examples. Mm. You have this unfunded mandate. Mm. You know, it wasn't an unfunded mandate, but it was an underfunded mandate by, I think it was almost like $3 billion.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Went to the States.
And come on. You cannot require schools and teachers to take all of these tests and then not give them the money.
Exactly.
You know, like to make sure that all that stuff is pushed through, is realized. What it always boils back down to, like a lot of the, like these social ills and all these other things, can be cured by investing in education.
Yeah.
And we're falling behind.
Absolutely.
You're right. We're falling behind. We're falling behind in language skills.
Everything.
We're falling behind in most of the other industrialized, you know, first world nations in the world. Their citizens know like more than like one language. Mm-hmm. Our citizens, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, they basically know one language, and most of the time they don't know that language all that well.
No, I have a story here about the these people, that, you know, the language skills are the worst in our country's history right now. I don't have it here, but I mean, it just goes to tell you that, you know, we're, you know, legions of idiots. I mean, you know, keep these kids in school longer. Mayor Daley, he wants the schools in Chicago to go to 6 days a week and to keep them in through the summer. That's going a little overboard. You know, I don't think 6 days a week, but 5 days a week is fine, but keep the schools going through the summer. You know what I mean?
But yet there's...
I completely agree with the whole summer idea.
Yeah.
I think that they should have four quarters,
mm-hmm.
and they should take maybe like a week and a half off between quarters.
That's right.
But they should not have this 3 month thing anymore.
No.
I think basically what that is, that's tradition, and what that is that it's
farmers,
also it also
farmers. Everything's
boils
with
down
the farmers.
To the fact that our school systems are underfunded. You know, they don't have the money to stay open for an extra 3 months.
Well, why don't we take like $50 billion out of our war with Iraq and pump that into our educational system, huh?
Because it's not immediately measurable.
It's an investment in the future, though.
Neither is the war in Iraq. I mean, you have people on the ground saying it's going to be 5 to 10 years before we really know what is going to happen in Iraq. Mm. You know, we have there are the elections, and that's fine. You know, the elections are kind of they're kind of going a little bit wonky. They were successful elections, but there's been some pretty strong opposition by the Sunni, a couple Sunni groups, especially in Baghdad. But yeah, I mean, you have these types of things that right now we're really focused on protecting the American people, but what about protecting, you know, America's future?
Exactly.
Right? Because a terrorist attack can upset our economy and all these types of things in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
But what about really protecting, you know, like our intellectual future? What about that? And like I said, having an underfunded mandate like No Child Left Behind, I just do not understand why that was underfunded. It was never explained to me why that was underfunded.
Well,
maybe there's a good reason for it, but
I
have never heard one.
Yeah, well, the same thing with this deficit and everything. You know, here they are, they're saying, oh, we cut the budget by $50 billion, whatever it is, and then, by the way, we cut taxes by $60 billion. Well, what the hell? There go the savings right there. It could have been $110 billion we could have saved, but you hear, you cut the taxes, and at the same time, you cut the damn spending. You know, what the hell? I don't know. I say, this country is out of whack. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that you have essentially. I mean, Bush believes in supply side economics. I mean, that's just
trickle down,
the long and short of it.
No.
And during supply side economics, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, when we
that happened under Reagan, you know, and it's happening now. And yes, the economy is growing, but the economy is growing, and I believe in the in such a way that the middle class is being sort of
squeezed,
you know, pushed down. Mm-hmm. A lot of middle class jobs, and I'm not necessarily saying that this is the government's fault, but a lot of these middle class jobs, these jobs that people were depended on for many, many years. You know, like Ford is about to lay off, like, you know, 30,000 jobs.
GM too.
GM actually is.
Yeah, GM, right. And and they're just, you know, and we're seeing a big squeeze on the middle class in this country. And
well,
and when you get
class.
When you yeah. have these tax cuts, the tax cuts are not going to, you know, the middle class. I mean, mm-hmm. there's small little portions are going to the middle class, but you know, you have the people who pay the most tax, true, who the wealthiest 2%. But at the end of the day, do we really need to be giving those people tax cuts in order to stimulate the economy, or do we really need to be giving the people, you know, who would really put it right back into the economy,
yeah.
the middle class? I've always believed that, you know, I think that a middle class tax cut is a much more common sense way to stimulate the economy. But you know, I'm not in the Oval Office. So.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And then, we're almost at the end of our time. We just have like a minute left. Do you want to say anything about the New York City being brought to its knees by the transit strike?
Yeah. This is pretty interesting. Mm. It looks like. See, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that it seems like unions are kind of wearing out their welcome, and I don't. Or they're wearing out their usefulness. And I don't know that I necessarily agree quite yet. But it seems like what they did, one of the unions in New York City did, because they didn't get the pensions that they wanted, that they couldn't agree on the pensions that they wanted, it seems like they violated the law. At least that's what a judge has said.
Yeah.
And Bloomberg's pissed. I mean, he's really angry.
He's not happy at all.
No, and there's actually disagreement between two of the unions.
Mm.
So it doesn't look like it's going to turn out very well for the unions. And this could be a turning point in kind of more negative sentiments about unions. And I think that's I think that's unfortunate because I think that my grandfather started a union actually at the GM plant here in Kansas City, and it was needed. It was needed. There was a time where it was so needed.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we got to wind it up at the end of our segment
fine,
here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll talk to you
man.
Next week.
And no, well, actually, happy holidays.
Oh, well, whatever.
Oh,
because
please.
I am declaring war on Christmas right now.
Oh, we'll disconnect you right now then.
I'm trying to get on O'Reilly.
Get drowned out by your own sound effect. Anyway, Justin. Oh my God. Have a good night.
You too, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And
war on Christmas.
Oh, happy, merry, happy Christmas.
War on commercialism. There you
happy
go.
Happy Christmas. Have a happy Christmas.
What's that? Virgin Mobile phones? That happy Christmas Hanza Kwanzaa or something like
or
that?
Happy Honda Days or something like that.
Honda
happy,
Days? No, that's
happy,
down
happy
at the dealership.
Days.
You know, the more we continue on in this world,
I could sing. Of a white.
Man, he's lucky he's the host of the show, huh?
Christmas.
No, it's like we're totally categorizing everything we do nowadays.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I'm Asian American. I'm African American.
I'm fat ass American. Here.
Yeah. I'm not American
I'm
anymore.
I'm lame talk show host American.
Yeah.
I'm internet radio savvy American.
I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Hanukkah. I celebrate this.
I'm LB Rock's American talk show host. How about that?
No, I see what you're saying. It's just
anyway.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our first hour. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Eric Berlin from blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion. We'll be heavy on television, and we'll be talking in just a few minutes. And at the end of the second hour, it'll be Koenig Rules with a little bit of Battlestar Galactica news. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
I'm not
And we are back for the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And we just had a nice little discussion with the Justin from the Dunkelfin blog with our political discussion. And now we move on to pop culture with Eric Berlin from blogcritics.org. Eric, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. How
are
you doing, Sean?
Hi. Welcome to the program. I like this arrangement we have with Blog Critics. It's been very informative. Each one, last week was Philip Nguyen, the week before was Natalie Davis, and of course the first one was Eric Olson, so we're delighted to have you on the program.
Thanks very much. Yeah, each of us has our own little groove, so ready to get going.
Very good. And actually, the first topic you want to talk about is the best television show of 2005. Your personal pick is what?
My personal pick is Rescue Me. I just think it's an amazing show. It's really one of the most unique programs to come on television in the last several years. Really, I related a lot to The Sopranos and how much it brings in elements of drama and comedy and kind of works on multiple levels at the same time.
I've seen a couple of episodes of that show. I don't know, it just hasn't grabbed me. And also, you have The Shield in there.
Yeah, I watch Rescue Me all the time. That's
like
an awesome show.
That's Dennis Leary's program, right?
And correct, yeah.
And you also have The Shield in there with Mike Chiklis. Unfortunately, I cannot get into The Shield because I still remember him from The Commish, and I can't buy him.
I hear that a nice amount, actually. And you know the interesting connection between Rescue Me and The Shield, and perhaps why they didn't grab you if you kind of just sit in here and there, is that both have really strong story arcs, so you really kind of need to hop in at the beginning
and
stick with it. So you might want to pick it up on DVD and kind of start from the beginning.
That's a good idea.
What I actually did with The Shield, and I really just kind of...
Really?
I'm just surprised at the some of the language they get away with.
Yeah, especially on FX. Well, FX is kind of loose with the censorship, I guess. But and then now you have Veronica Mars. Now it's like the Murder She Wrote for teens. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's also called the new Buffy sometimes.
The new Buffy. Wait a minute.
Joss Whedon connections.
I see.
Yeah.
Joss is my god.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Now, Veronica, she's not like a supernatural thing, is she?
It's not supernatural, but she kind of solves mysteries. She's in high school.
Yeah, like
Scooby Gang working. Yeah. And all that kind of thing.
There's Nancy Drew or something like that. Now, you also have My Name is Earl. I've seen a couple episodes of that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. 2005, I think you're really seeing a resurgence of the one-camera comedy or one-camera, you know, half-an-hour comedy on television.
Hmm.
And My Name is Earl and The Office is really a fantastic hour of television because of the casting, because of the really strong characters. Earl has the fantastic Jason Lee, of course, and just a surrounding cast of just really loopy characters that remind a lot of people of, kind of Raising Arizona, Coen Brothers era sort of stuff. So... a lot of fun with both of those shows this
year. Now, I don't see Battlestar Galactica anywhere in the listing here. Why is that? That's the best show on television.
I hear that from time to time. Unfortunately, I don't get the sci-fi channel,
so
I can't talk about it. But I do hear a lot of great things about it, and I'm looking forward to picking it up on DVD myself.
You have to go buy the DVD. They got the season one DVD out, and they're already coming out with the season 2.0, which is the first 10 episodes, and they're coming back January 6th with all new episodes of Galactica.
Perhaps I'll have something under my tree in a week.
Yeah, okay? I hope so. I like this. I like this that you do not have any of those damned reality shows in your best show listing. I mean, Survivor and all that stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, we want escapism. We want to see something that takes us out of our humdrum everyday lives, and that's what good television does, like The Shield and Lost and all that.
Hear me out on the reality thing, because I do like some reality shows, and I'd like to get into The Apprentice if you have time for that.
Oh, yeah,
I see reality as the same way as fictional television, really, because I think, like in any kind of genre or in any kind of form of entertainment, you have a lot of stuff that's not great, you have a few things that are pretty good, and then you have a couple of shows that are really great.
Mm.
And I would really make a case for Mark Burnett, who really does The Apprentice. He really does the reality model as well as anybody.
Mm.
So I do think you get some good reality shows, but obviously you get a lot like, Fantasy Island or whatever they're doing these days. That
yeah,
give
the
it a bad
Bachelorette
name.
Goes to Paris or wherever the hell it is
exactly.
In January.
And finds a $1 trillion under a rock, except it's not really the case, and
they
have to live in a dungeon for a year.
And then you have Blood Critics discuss the best television personality of 2005.
Yeah, that's Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. Your best pick is Terry O'Quinn, who's as John Locke on Lost. Is that right?
Yeah, another really amazing large ensemble cast. To me, John Locke, played by Terry O'Quinn, really stands out. He's just such an intriguing personality. Has this really mysterious past. Mm-hmm. You learn in an episode in the first season that he was actually in a wheelchair, and then once he crash landed into the island, boom! All of a sudden he can walk around.
Yeah,
like Mr. Survivor of the island. So,
well, and yeah. Also he's a link to Millennium, which was on FX. He was the what the hell was his name on Millennium? He's on there on Millennium as well.
I actually did not watch Millennium. I know him more as Kendall from Alias, another J.J. Abrams show, and I've always kind of enjoyed him there.
Yeah, and, now I'm thinking, I'm going to spoil Lost for anybody, but, you know, I'm thinking that all this Lost business is a dream by Matthew Fox's character. He was a doctor in a hospital. I think all these people were his patients or something, huh?
Well, that's part of the fun of the show, because there's so many different theories. You know, I could really see the sort of, in between life and death sort of scenario. Like some people relate the final episode of Seinfeld, like they're in purgatory, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's something going on. And I think the magic of J.J. Abrams, and he's really improved upon the Alias model, is that you have this deeper and darker sort of labyrinth to walk through. And you know, everybody just wants to see how long can he keep the plate spinning. So, Alias died out probably somewhere in season 3 or season 4, and you know we're hoping Lost just goes on and on.
Well, the same thing that a lot of people I know are concerned about Battlestar Galactica, because you know it's so creative, dramatic program. They wonder how long until the show runs out of gas. You know what I mean?
And that's a problem. You know, it's a good problem in a way with any kind of episodic television. Mm-hmm. You know, where you just kind of want to see how many storylines can play out, and once they play out, you know, what are you going to do next? And that's really the problem of the creative type of television shows.
Well, it's like with Galactica, Ronald Moore, they just signed him for a 2-year deal, and he's got two new series in development for NBC, and then he's also did Carnival on whatever the hell it was, Showtime, whatever it was.
HBO.
And then now you're wondering now if he's developing his other series, will he take his creative eye off of Galactica while he's creating these other shows, and will that affect the mothership, which is Galactica? You know what I mean? Same thing with Lost.
That's certainly the problem. I think some people relate with Alias. The death of Alias was really kind of came along at the same time with the rebirth or the birth of Lost. Going back to Joss Whedon again. There was a year where he was doing Firefly, Angel, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer all at the same time, I believe.
Yeah.
But actually, I think he did a great job on all three.
Well, that
I can't say a bad word about that guy.
No.
Well, that is a good example of that's the second one, I think. The first one, I think, was Chris Carter when he did X-Files.
Ah, yes.
He was doing great, and then they gave him another show, Millennium, and I think the season after Millennium started, the next season of X-Files
went down the drain
because all his creative juices went to Millennium, and
Millennium didn't last.
And Millennium was pretty good, but you started seeing a lot of correlation, like it was kind of like the X-Files.
Yeah. And then you want to say about Gina Davis as President Mackenzie Allen and Commander in Chief? I've seen that show. Excellent.
Yeah, it's a really great show, and she's fantastic. I mean, she really comes across as a believable female president. The show I really relate kind of to the film Dave with or like the American president. It kind of goes into the domestic life of the White House, and it's got some nice dramatic storylines, some nice lighter touches. It's like the West Wing can really kind of get grim, and Commander in Chief does kind of keep it lighter even when it does get into the kind of political machinations.
True. Well, and then now that Stephen Bochco is the executive producer, and they brought in what the hell's his name is from Saved by the Bell, Mark Paul Gosselaar, they brought him in. So, I mean, they're still working on the show. Now, you mentioned West Wing. I know you didn't want to mention it until later, but about John Spencer dying. He played Leo McGarry. Boy, that really is going to rock that show. I mean, this is the last season of West Wing anyway, because I really don't think it's going to get renewed. But, I mean, it's how many years has this show been on the air? It's getting so expensive for NBC to keep putting on.
I'd say
7 years?
6 or 7 years in. Yeah.
So,
And this goes against the grain on what some people are saying. I really thought it had kind of a resurgence this year. I think the election has been doing really put a lot of energy and life into the show, and I could really imagine it kind of continuing on
maybe.
Around either Alan Alda or
Jimmy
Smits.
Yeah. Well, we think how are they going to deal with John Spencer dying on the show? What are they going to do with the character Leo?
Well, I'm not sure where they are in the taping process and where they're going to have to reinsert the storyline. But come on, they managed to do it, and with John Ritter, they managed to rig that show, and that show managed to kind of stay afloat for a while. So I think they will find a way to work it in. But as you said, if it is the last season of the show anyway, I think they're going to have a lot of dramatic tension to build, so I'm sure they're going to layer that in.
Or maybe they'll shoot around a character saying that Leo's off campaigning because he's a vice presidential candidate. He's off campaigning, and you won't see him on screen for a while. I remember in Dallas, they had JR talking to Jock Ewing on the phone, and you never saw Jock, and blah, blah, blah. They can do stuff like that.
And wasn't one whole season of Dallas related to a dream? That's going back to Lost. But... So for the West Wing, I think it's interesting this year because they really have two very disparate storylines where they're with finishing up with the president, Barrett, and at the same time they're out on the campaign trail. So I think if they want to, put that kind of element in the background. And to be honest, I would be happy to see that because I kind of cringe when the actor has died in real life and they're just waiting for that moment to happen on the show. I'd be kind of happy if they worked around it creatively that way myself.
And then you want to mention about the shows that premiered in the fall of 2005 of the season to keep an eye on. You have Prison Break. I haven't seen that yet. That's that's a story of the one brother's in prison and the other brother commits a crime to get into prison to break his brother out. Is that it?
Yeah, if you can really suspend disbelief and just, kind of buy into this really unbelievably ridiculous storyline, it's about the most fun you can have on a prison show, basically. Mm. There's a lot of fun characters, the storylines just get completely ridiculous. The main character, kind of gets left with the prison doctor who's, of course, this really unbelievably attractive woman, and he's this, attractive young guy in prison, and they get to kind of hang out and flirt together. Meanwhile, the main storyline is that the main character's brother is accused of killing the vice president's brother, I think. And, of course, he didn't really do it, and the main character set himself up to be sent to the very prison where he was the architect, that helped to build that prison, and his brother just happens to be incarcerated in that prison, and he's on death row. But of course, they get to hang out together and plot their own escape.
Unbelievable.
So that's the story. And if you can buy all that, it's fun.
Yeah. Now, what's going to happen? Well, if they break out of prison, where's the show going to go from there? Are they going to be on the run?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of because it's dealing with the vice president, and she's this. Really sinister figure. She's actually played by the actress, she was on 30-something. I forget her name.
Oh, yeah. What the hell's her name? The blonde.
Blonde-haired woman.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. And also you said Rome.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I could see Prison Break kind of going a real 24 kind of route with just, high-level political stuff going on. And
probably.
They'll figure out a way to get it going if the ratings are there.
Yeah, and then you want to mention Rome. Rome is on HBO. I haven't seen that. That is like that ABC did a similar type of show in the summer set in Rome as well. I think it was called Caesar's Palace or something. What was it called? I don't know. I work at Caesar's, but whatever.
I didn't see that one. I heard it was actually not worth catching. Rome is certainly worth catching. It's got a huge cast. It does take a little while to kind of get a read on some of the characters and say, oh, yeah, there's, Caesar, there's Mark Antony, there's Brutus, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's got some fun kind of lower-level characters who kind of play this sort of Forrest Gump role. They kind of get to be around for, all the kind of big deal happenings around the time of Caesar.
Yeah.
But it's another fun show, a lot of really good drama.
Hmm.
Just all the HBO shows with a high production value are almost always worth checking out.
Absolutely.
But the plot got really involving, lots of sex that they can't show on television, lots of incredibly brutal violence. There was a scene near the end of the first season that really blew away anything that... Even was from that film Gladiator. I was looking for that. So lots of action, lots of good stuff, and really fun show to kind of keep an eye on for next year.
Very cool. And also you have Commander in Chief. We were talking about that. And you have Everybody Hates Chris. Is that show as popular as it seems? I mean, it seems like it's really a popular show, huh?
I don't think it gets great ratings, but because it's on UPN, I think it's getting enough ratings to kind of at least get a buzz. And of course. Chris Rock is involved with the show. And my take on that show is that it is a real rarity in that it's a family comedy that's actually really funny. It's an interesting show. It actually takes on, you know, real issues. It's about, you know, a sort of a lower middle class family struggling in Brooklyn of the early 80s. You know, it takes Chris Rock's childhood and it kind of builds comedic storylines around that. Chris Rock does the voiceovers. So it's actually a surprisingly good show from week to week.
Very good. And then also, you want to talk about The Apprentice. Now, I saw that they hired the first African-American as The Apprentice. What the hell is his name? Randall?
Randall.
Yeah. And then I thought it was interesting, a little controversy, because Trump, I guess, I think Trump is leaning towards hiring both him and, what the hell her name is, Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Yeah, and then Randall says, no, this is supposed to be Apprentice, not The Apprentice. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, real controversial moments at the end of the first season, or I'm sorry, at the end of the final season, final episode of the season, which is kind of interesting because really... The whole theme going in was that these were really two of the best finalists to ever go head-to-head in the finals. Of course, Randall had this unbelievably opulent resume coming in. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He went to MIT. He owns his own multi-million-dollar technology consulting firm already.
Wow.
And here he's going up against Rebecca, who's really impressive. She's a 23-year-old woman, a financial journalist. And she made it all the way to the finals kind of on her own moxie. She broke her ankle during the season playing hockey for one of the rewards that they were given, I think hanging out with the Rangers in New York. So, you know, here they are going head-to-head. Finally, Randall ends up winning, and Trump basically asks him, do you want to hire Rebecca also? And he says, no, it's The Apprentice, not The Apprentice. So a lot of people say, oh, come on, why couldn't he just, you know, acquiesce and let her be get a job too? They would have both easily had a job set up within the Trump organization. And other people say, look, you know, it was his spotlight. It was his choice to make. So, you know, leave him alone kind of thing. So,
I agree. I mean, that's the whole concept of the show, that there's one winner. I mean, if they start breaking that, you never know. One season might have four winners. You know what I mean?
Well, they've been kind of tweaking and playing with the model as they go along. The new thing, is, and this kind of went on in the Martha Stewart edition as well, is to do multiple firings instead of just going one down the line. So I think they're trying to... you know, sprinkle in little wrinkles here and there to kind of, you know, keep interest in the show.
Well, yeah,
but overall, I thought it was a fun season. It was kind of a golden age, really, because you had the Donald Trump and Martha Stewart editions to check out.
Yeah, well, and actually, the Donald Trump Apprentice still rates higher than the Martha Stewart program, and her show has been canceled, or NBC's not, quote-unquote, canceling it. They're saying it's not coming back. So,
yeah, that's right. And I think a lot of people just lost interest very quickly in Martha's edition. And, you know, if they were a fan at all, they stuck with Trump's edition. Yeah. I actually really liked, and I was very much surprised by how much I liked the Martha Stewart edition.
Really?
It was kind of a lighter, more creative touch. And Martha Stewart did a really great job at presenting herself in a good light. I wasn't necessarily a great fan of hers, but she really showed her prowess as a businesswoman, showed her lighter side, showed her more, you know, humanistic side, and really kind of took more of a time to go through the human process of deciding how she picked these people. And that was really where the interest was for me on that show.
Well, why can't they keep The Apprentice Martha Stewart going and move it over to, like, the Food Network or something like that? I don't understand why they don't do that. I mean, you know, put it over there or put it, you know, I mean, if Burnett wants to keep the show going, you know, they got all these, NBC's got a bunch of cable networks. Why not put it on Bravo or something like that? You know, move it over there.
Yeah, I think Bravo would be the perfect choice.
Really. Yeah.
And I'd watch it. I'd try to catch it wherever it was. Like you said, NBC is trying to say, no, if this was going to be a one and done the whole time. But I think it's the third lowest rated show on NBC.
Well,
so, basically it's probably just a business maneuver, unfortunately.
And then,
really give them a chance.
And then you want to talk about the, of course, the big event Friday was the last Howard Stern show on terrestrial broadcast radio. So he's moving over to Sirius on January 6th. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, very big news for anybody interested in the Howard Stern show or, you know, the radio world in general. You know, it's a huge risk for Howard Stern. Of course, he's getting compensated very handsomely for it, about a $500 million deal reportedly. So he's going to be on Sirius, and, you know, it's basically he's putting the whole concept of satellite radio on his shoulders, taking Sirius against the more popular right now, anyway, in terms of subscribers, XM satellite radio. And I think anybody who underestimates Howard Stern, you know, in the past has been proven dead wrong, and I certainly wouldn't do it again. I think he's an amazing force in radio. I think he's an amazing force in media. You know, and I think there's a lot more people who enjoy his stuff than are even willing to admit it.
Yeah, now, but yeah, but is his popularity going to translate to satellite radio? I mean, is Sirius, how many subscribers is Sirius expecting to come over from Howard Stern?
Well, that's the real question.
Yeah.
And one of the problems they had with Stern's deal with, I think he was with Infinity up until, you know, basically mm-hmm. last week, was that he wasn't really allowed to self-promote as much as he would have liked, although
yeah.
he did some of that. And same goes for Sirius. But I think the real bet is how many Stern fans are going to literally shell out the money and switch over to satellite.
Exactly.
And I think, again, that goes back to the overall concept of satellite and a subscription-based radio. Are, willing,
mm-hmm.
are people willing to shell out the money to do it? I'm betting yes. It might not happen right away, but I think he's really going to become, you know, a foundation of satellite radio, just as he was for terrestrial radio for so many years. And you know, it's interesting. He's changing the whole world of terrestrial radio just by leaving it, because now the terrestrial radio stations are calling themselves, quote-unquote, free FM or free radio, and that's something you really didn't see until Stern made the switch over to satellite.
Yeah, I was listening to K-News. It's a local news station. They said, oh, it's free news and all that. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, actually, Trencher was saying that Sirius went from 300,000 to 1.2 million members. So, wow, so they are seeing a little uptick. But XM, what's XM doing? They're doing nothing. Yeah, they got the baseball. They got the football. You know, 10? What?
XM actually has like 10 million subscribers.
10 million, wow. Well, because XM now, XM got into the General Motors and the cars and stuff first, I believe it was. Right.
I think that's why XM is really still maintaining the lead. But what no one really foresaw at the time where XM bought themselves into the whole car market mm-hmm. is that the whole future of satellite is going to be more in portable devices.
Yeah.
And where Sirius is really going to be on much more even ground in combating them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my first goal is to get a damned iPod before I get satellite radio. I think there's more coming of podcasting than there is for satellite radio.
Well, if you
radio,
check the programming
right?
on XM and satellite,
same
a lot
stuff.
Of it is just
same,
FM regurgitated.
Yeah,
there's nothing different.
CNN has all the TV shows. I've ever
well,
watched it, then
yeah,
see
I'm
it.
Not even talking
right.
about the CNN or MSNBC
yeah.
areas. I'm just talking
music.
About the variety shows they have on. A lot of it's just
garbage.
AM or FM shows that are on Sirius
yeah.
or
simulcast.
I mean, they're not trying to find their own
niche.
Programming.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not trying to find programming strictly for the satellite. It's all shows that are already on AM/FM.
Yeah. And anyone mentioned about, we already talked about John Spencer dying. Now, he was also in L.A. Law from 90 to 94 with Jimmy Smits as well.
Yeah, I think they overlapped for about one or two seasons
yeah.
where John Spencer kind of came on during the period where Jimmy Smits was on his way headed out.
Yeah.
And, you know, Leo McGarry, definitely a very beloved character. I know a lot of people are going to miss him, myself included.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll deal with the death in a sensible way. They'll, in addition to paying tribute to the actor, will also pay tribute to the character as well. Because Leo McGarry, I mean, he was involved, you know, he was, you know, with Bartlett from the beginning and all. He was like his only friend he had in the administration, you know. And I hope so. You know, it's what I found strange that the character. The character had a heart attack last season on the show, so I thought that was interesting. You know, maybe they'll play into how they resolve the character, have the character have a heart attack off stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there were some similarities between McGarry and Spencer, actually. They both had problems with alcoholism, and obviously Spencer died of a heart attack, and just, you know, the same had happened to his character, obviously, based on the show. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that again.
Now, Eric Berlin, before I let you go, do you have your own blog in addition to Blog Critics you want to plug? Or
mostly Blog Critics. I do have a personal blog at dumpsterbust.com.
Dumpsterbust.
You know, I'd invite everybody to check out blogcritics.org. Lots of really exciting things going on, talking about all the end of the year things, and not just in terms of television, but all the music and the other things that are going on out there. So stop on by.
Well, very good. Eric Berlin, we thank you very much for being on the program. It was very informative. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope you come back again.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And that was Eric Berlin of blogcritics.org. I ended that right on time there. I'm getting good with this. You know, I'm going to keep eye on the clock here. And up next, when he gets on the line, would be Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica update if he calls in. So hopefully he will call in. But, I mean, yeah, this is the satellite radio business. I don't know. I mean, you know, they got to get some original programming on there. They have some, but I need to get more. Because why would I pay $12.95 to get to listen to CNN when I could watch on the damn TV? You know, I'm saying, I'm paying for cable. Why would I want to pay to listen to the same shows? On, you know, it doesn't make sense.
I think you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. You're not paying for the talk shows. Actually, Con and I were just kind of jabbering back and forth here a moment ago. You're not paying for that. You're actually paying for commercial-free music. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what you're paying for.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying for the right not to hear commercials.
There we go. I think that might be our man. Yeah, we'll just put him right on. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens to satellite radio. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to LV Rocks. Hello? Hello? Oh, he hung up on us.
Aww.
Damn him. Anyway, that's a Christmas gift from Koenig Rules. Click.
Click.
And we'll all be called back, but we'll see. I mean, if anybody's going to do anything with satellite radio, it'll be Howard Stern. I mean, he's got a legion.
Yeah, well,
it's like if Rush Limbaugh ever went to just exclusively
satellite
radio.
Well, look what Open Anthony did. Open Anthony went to XM. And
disappeared.
No, I wouldn't say that. No. I wouldn't say that at all. I still, you still get a lot of Open Anthony information and whatnot. Stern, you ask what Stern could be like on, when he moves over to satellite, it's going to be a free-for-all for him. But he's smart enough to know not to overdo it. He's not going to turn every single show into what everybody assumes he wants.
An F-bomb fest.
I've been reading a lot on it, and, even he's saying, I know that everybody's expecting me to go completely ballistic and just totally go off into some weird space with this. But no, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just from what I'm reading, how I kind of feel about it, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's like, you look at what we do internet radio. I mean, look at what I do on Friday, Friday night, some of the stupid stuff and the stupid things we say and the political and whatnot. But,
Yeah.
I mean, it's
free original.
Range.
I mean, I kept saying before, I put some of the programs in LV Rocks up against anything that's on the radio any time of the day because we're more creative than some of this crap we're getting on the radio. Like me, I talk radio. I listen to, KDWN and KXNT and all, and K-News. And I put any one of these shows up against anything that they do. I think we get more listeners.
I actually want to ask you a question about that when we get a chance.
Ah, yes.
I think we have a caller.
Oh, I think it's... Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You were on AM 750 or 720.
720.
And I was noticing in the local papers that there was a lot of people protesting those meetings because when I listened to it, because I'm like, Sean's going to be on the radio. I'll listen to this for sure. And to me, it sounded more like this guy was a complete racist, And it came off as such. And I know he's probably not.
Yeah.
But the reception I was getting was.
It's hard. I'm for legal immigration, but not illegal. And the only disagreement I have with him is that he wants to, I don't think we should be rounding up 12 million people and throw them out of the country. I think we should amnesty, let them stay because they've been here. I can't see the army going into the streets of the United States and pulling.
I don't think we have enough army left.
No. And I think we got our music queued up for our next guest. There we go. I think we're joined. There we go. I miss my Cylon friends. And we're joined by Koenig Rules. Koenig, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
There you go. Nice early old intro. Welcome back to the program. It's been months since we've talked to you. Yes.
It has, hasn't it?
Yes.
Pegasus, maybe?
Pegasus, exactly. I mean, we want to thank Judy for taking the week off so we could bring you on to the program.
That was very nice.
Yes,
of
course, she runs sciencefictionbuzz.com, and a great site, and we welcome you to the program. And then, so what have you been doing? You've been buying all kinds of Galactica gifts for your friends and family?
Basically for myself.
No, I've not been able to find the companion anywhere.
Really?
No.
I got that at the local Borders bookstore about a month ago.
I think I'm getting the Galactica coloring book or something from Sci-Fi Channel. That's all I'm gonna get. Wait, the Galactica's coming through. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
The ship's coming through. No. Here it comes. Hear it? There it goes. There goes the ship.
Yeah, there it goes.
Oh, my Lord. It needs a new muffler today, I think. Jesus. anyway, see? Good quality content. Go up against anything on AM radio. Sure, Sean. Sure. Anyway, so you got some big news for us about the... now, what's going on in the second half of the season? I've been, without any spoilers. So, we got any spoilers?
Well, I think I did mention on your show that Laura is supposedly going to be cured. Through Baltar, remember?
Yes.
he's going to take some of the cells from Boomer's
baby, yeah, the baby. Cylon child.
Right, and that's going to probably be in episode 212. So the second episode.
Second episode. Okay, cool. Because they come back with 210, and the resurrection ship's going to actually be a two-parter now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they dropped the show that's going to give us the view from the Cylon point of view. So they dropped that completely.
Right. Yeah, well, mm-hmm. It probably was hard to do. I remember they did something like that on Space Above and Beyond with the creatures. They were called the Chigs.
The Chigs.
I think, and you got into their point of view, and they did a pretty good job on it. So I think Moore was really dissatisfied with the way it was turning out, so he decided not to do it this season, which is okay. You know what I mean?
Now tell everybody about that class you're going to be teaching, because I've gotten emails. You're going to be teaching some kind of course or something about Galactica, or you're running some kind of symposium or something, aren't you?
It's actually a popular culture conference.
There you go.
That's held once every year, and this year it's in Atlanta, Georgia, the weekend of Easter. And I would say about four-fifths of the sci-fi panels are all on Galactica. We didn't intend that, but there's just a number of people that want to talk everything from gender differences to race to religion and 9-1-1, and they want to relate it all to Battlestar Galactica.
Now, so, is anybody from the cast going to be there for this, or what?
We were trying to get Aaron Douglas to come on board, but his agent has never contacted us.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he's still... He emails me from time to time and stuff like that, but we were hoping that he could do it, but I think that's when they're going to start filming again. I mean,
when's
you know.
In April? Yeah, because in April they're going to do the split season bit again, so yeah, they started filming in April and the episodes will be ready in July.
Aaron tells me he doesn't have a big part in this set of 10.
Really?
I mean, I don't know what's going on necessarily. Well, they're probably focusing on Lee and his dark side, you know, and things like that.
Well, then they got the other ship too. Now they got to pay attention to that. Now the Pegasus is going to hang around. Looks like through the end of the season, correct? Yeah. Now, now you had a spoiler about somebody that's going to be in the final two episodes of the second season. Who may that be?
Yeah, the rumor was Dean Stockwell, and that's confirmed. Now that the shows have been filmed. Stockwell will be in it, and he will be a new Cylon model.
Oh, another one.
Another one. Wow. So this is number 3 for the season.
Wow. You know? Now, who's he? I mean, of course, everybody remembers him from whatever the hell that show is, Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Now he's going to be in Battlestar Galactica. Now, is this just a two-shot, guest shot deal, or is he like going to be a regular, do you know?
Well, my guess is whenever they introduce a Cylon model, they'll bring back the star, like they're bringing back Lucy Lawless, I think, in 217 or 218. So.
Oh, really?
So he's if he plays a Cylon model and these guys never die, my guess is they're thinking of probably bringing him back in the third season.
Really? Now, any big plots coming up we should be watching out for?
Well, his character is interesting because. The name of his character is Brother Cavill. Now, I think that's interesting why he's called a brother, and I've been trying to get information whether he belongs to a monastic order. Is this, again, tying in with the one god type of religion of the Cylons? But I'm wondering if he's going to play some type of religious figure, a monk, because in the finale... Supposedly, the Cylons are going to offer the hand of peace to the Galacticans. Now, it was reported on the boards that Leoben would be the one, but my sources say that it's Six and Boomer that
really
are going to be offering the hand of peace. Which
that's interesting.
I think that's just a cover. That's just a ploy. But it sounds pretty reminiscent of what was going on with the pilot. The pilot, remember, of the original series.
Where
they wanted to extend the hand of friendship. So
then they attacked them.
Going, they're going back to one of the original plots.
Really? Now, any hints of another episode remake they're going to do? A lot of people want to see them do a remake, the one with Count Ibley. Any hint of anything coming that they're going to remake?
I have heard through the grapevine that eventually they're going to have to focus on the Cylon god. Mm. And even though Moore says that now that he probably won't be remaking another episode, I mean, literally speaking, if he does a different direction than the original War of the Gods and Count Ibley, it wouldn't be a remake. So my guess is there's going to be something along the lines of a prime mover of the Cylons at some point.
Really? And now as the season comes to an end, now we revealed already that Paul Campbell's character is going to get killed off.
Yes.
Billy. Now that's going to come towards the end of the season. Is that right? Some kind of big shooting or something? That I think you said that Lee's going to get nailed.
Right.
And then Billy bites the dust. Right.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Definitely.
Who knows where they're going to go? I mean, it sounds like that Laura Roslin's going to stick around.
Right.
And it
looks like all the cast is going to be sticking around.
Actually, so. Mike DeCee says that you will be Count Ibley. Hell, I should be Count Ibley, crying out loud. I still think Muffet should make it. I don't think we have the Muffet sound effects at the
no?
ready.
No,
I don't think we have.
I wanted to hear an interview with him.
I got enough static from that. But the people I heard from the crew loved the Muffet interview. They thought it was classic.
Sure.
Yeah.
I still think Ron Moore should do something in tribute to The Day I Get. I don't know, something humorous, you know.
Yeah. Maybe some kind of mention. Maybe some pilot's nickname could be Muffet or something.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some fat pilot or who knows. Now, any shocking kill offs we have to watch out for in the second 10 episodes?
Not that I've heard. I mean, it sounds to me like. Well, if you see the sneak previews on Sci-Fi, Adama says it gets worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. They have been circulating, and I don't know how they've done this, but they have been circulating some sound clips from Resurrection Ship that's even up on Ragnar Anchorage where Adama is speaking, and I think it's Takara where... He tells her to shoot Kane in the head.
Really?
Yeah. Before that, Roslin tells Adama that she needs to be eliminated. So
really?
It sounds to me like it's going to be a real bloodthirsty ending for Kane.
Well, because she's we know because we revealed Michelle Forbes is going to play Kane, but she's also a Star Trek alumni from she played Ro. But I mean, we revealed that she's only supposed to be in the first episode of the second 10 episodes, so they're going to do something with her, at least by the end of the episode,
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless they can always pull a twister later and they can make her into a Cylon.
Yeah.
I mean,
she could be one for that matter.
Because she is really despicable, you know?
Well, yeah. And then, now what about this thing that people were saying that we didn't get the extended Pegasus episode,
right.
But we're going to get it in the DVD that's going to be out in the spring.
What they're going to do is they've just released the first 10 episodes of season 2.
Uh-huh.
But they said they didn't have enough time to do the extended version of Pegasus. So, as a treat for fans, when the last 10 episodes are released, they're going to include the extended version of Pegasus.
They just want that as a hook. They want that as a hook to be able to buy the second 10 episodes. That's
sure.
what that is.
Well,
they want
well,
the hook. I think they should include my interviews into the second 10 episodes DVD. What do you think? Is an extra, huh?
Yeah.
I doubt it. But I mean,
you heard it off from Sci-Fi or not?
No, I've been trying to update them. Okay, because it's getting close to January. Where's my interview with Alessandro Giuliani, Gaeta? And I haven't gotten a response. So they told me they won't give me an interview until January. Now it's almost January. Now I'm not getting an interview. So we'll see. We'll see. I did send a nice Christmas greeting to Katie Sackhoff, so hopefully she'll come back on. And
that would be cool.
Yeah, maybe Aaron Douglas. I know Leah Cairns. I had a phone call from her a couple weeks ago. So and then Scully Girl says I can still get the Stargate people. So
right.
But,
cool.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of nice.
Maybe you can get Lucy Lawless.
Lucy, that'd be kind of nice. Talk to her.
Yeah.
And so anything else you want to talk about the series? And the companion's out. They got the novels are coming out, right?
The novels are coming out in early summer. So, just my impression is from what I've been seeing, the news is now that Ron Moore has struck a deal with NBC. Mm-hmm. He's got a 2-year contract mm-hmm. to develop a sci-fi series. I mean, some people on the boards are saying, oh, this is going to spell doom for Galactica. When I first read that, I figured, wow, he's the favored son now at NBC. My guess is they're going to continue Galactica for at least another 2 seasons, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if it doesn't show up again on NBC in summer.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't do so hot in the ratings, I mean, I think NBC is really pleased with the show. On that network, it didn't do so hot.
No, and NBC, and a lot of these sci-fi shows are getting pulled that are on the networks now. Which one got Invasion? Is that still on? Do you watch Invasion?
Invasion is on, but Threshold is off. Really good, because that, I think, was eating a little bit into the Sci-Fi Friday lineup. I mean, they have Ghost Whisperer now, and that's competing against SG-1, but there's really no other science fiction competition on Friday night.
No, and then Medium's still on. It's not bad.
Of a
show.
Yeah, Medium is still on. Invasion, and what's the other one? Fathom?
Is that still on? Now what is that? Fathom is about
a Surface or something.
Surface?
I'm sorry. It was originally Fathom.
Did they change it to Surface?
Right.
Now, what is that now? Is it like about a submarine in the water or something? Is it like SeaQuest?
but it moves pretty much like Battlestar. In fact, I'm just amazed at it, that it's been on so long, because it's got that episodic nature to it where it's just a continuation, like as a soap, and it even has a character on it that looks a little bit like Aaron Douglas.
Yeah, now Scully Girl's saying that Invasion has still been on, but I thought, I don't know, one of you said it was before it was canceled. I don't know.
No. Alias was on for 2 weeks to see how it would do in that time slot, and it bombed, I think, last week, so now Alias has been canceled. But Invasion is going to be coming back in January.
There you go. And she wants to know, who looks like Aaron Douglas? You mentioned somebody looks like Aaron Douglas.
I'm trying to think of, it's the male lead on this show.
Which show? Invasion?
Not an Invasion, on Surface.
Oh, so I don't watch that show. I thought that was a submarine show, like SeaQuest.
Right.
No? It shows how much I watch it. But
actually, it's pretty good.
Really? See, I
it's good for my kids. I mean, it's a nice kid-oriented show.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't watch the network sci-fi shows because they don't last. The networks don't give enough time for those network shows. I just watch the sci-fi channels programs because they invest more time into the shows. You know what I'm saying?
I know. At least you've got a full season with sci-fi.
Now, what do you think? What did you think of Triangle? Did you watch that?
Oh yeah.
Now,
one thing that I was a little bit. Did you see it?
No. I'm waiting for the DVD. I will see it all on DVD.
Well, the effects were good, but at the end, all these, without really spoiling anything, all these ships and planes come back out of the triangle, and I'm just watching this, and it's sort of like, no accidents happen.
Really?
Ships and boats from the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s are all coming out of the triangle, and it's like, wow, not one single accident. You know?
Now, do they set it up for a possible series, or if
they do a series, it would have to be the same cast as in investigating something else. I don't think Bryan Singer or what's his name? Our intent on doing
a series?
A series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then Sci-Fi is hyping its Friday night lineup now. Any rumors about a Galactica spinoff?
Not right now. And I don't think with the way Ron Moore is, and in a moment I'll talk to you about his 2 other shows. With the way he's occupied right now, if there would ever be a spinoff, it probably would be after his first show.
Yeah. Now, what's the first new show he's going to create? What's that called? Warehouse 20 or something like that? What's it called?
Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13.
It's for sci-fi. And do you Did you ever see Friday the 13th, the series?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, it's about these government agents that are in this facility, and they're going through all these objects that the government has collected, each having its own unique history, and they're mm-hmm. pulled into this history. So it seems like each week they investigate a different object. I mean, it sounds like quirky enough that it would probably sustain itself on not on a major network.
No. Now, what's the second series called?
Pen and Sword. Pen and Sword, okay. Yeah. And that one, it's about a young man finds that his building is a portal to a medieval alternate reality.
Hmm.
So he goes back and forth from one existence to the other. And
really?
What happens in this modern-day period gets transformed in some way in the medieval period. It reminds me a little bit of Sliders.
Oh.
But that's for NBC.
There you go. Well, I mean, some of these ideas get regurgitated. I know they've been pushing this movie that Spielberg's doing called Munich, but at the aftermath of the killing of the Israeli Olympic athletes. But I also remember a movie that came after that. I think it was on television or something. It was about the same story, but them hunting down the ones behind the killing of the Olympic athletes. I mean, I go, hey, man,
yeah.
I remember this. This was a movie.
I don't recall the name of it, though.
Yeah, like Michael Nouri was in or something like that from Flashdance. He was in that. And
right.
then I'm like, well, Spielberg's, it's not, they say, oh, it's so original. It's the greatest thing that's ever been in the movies. I'm like, wait a minute, they already did this years ago. You know? But, and then, what else? He's got those two shows. Now, what's David Icke doing? Nothing? He just keep an eye on Galactica or what?
Well, my understanding was he was a USA network executive, so I'm not sure if he's still continuing that role or not. But it just seems to me that both Icke and Moore are positioned in such a way that they're going to keep Galactica on for a while. Mm. You know what I mean? Unless it really bombs
in the ratings. Yeah, or if Olmos gets sick of doing it and he quits, then I'll have
to... But it sounds to me like he's very pleased with it so far. I know he doesn't want any strange-looking aliens on the show, but there has been talk about, well, maybe they'll meet humanoids like themselves.
Well, that's how they get around it. Or have somebody else meet the three-eyed aliens.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So he's
But, I mean, it's a different show. I was on a Space 1999 board today, and I was saying, you know, it's unlike Star Trek, it's unlike all these other sci-fi shows where they visit a planet every week.
Oh,
that really stretched the imagination after a while.
It's Star Trek, all the aliens happen to walk on two legs and spoke
That's
perfect
right.
English. You're like, oh, wow, this is cool,
That's
you know?
Right.
But, I mean,
even in Battlestar, they were coming across human inhabitants on one planet after another.
Yeah, and they all spoke perfect English, and they all were blondes and blue-eyed with nice racks. You know what I mean? One was like, who was that British actress? Britt Eklund or something like that? Was in that one?
Britt
Eklund. Holy cow.
And then Audrey Landers, I think,
Audrey Landers showed up, and who else? Fred Astaire showed up on Galactica.
Yeah,
like,
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing a presentation on the Cylons, comparing the new with the old.
There you go.
And in the original Galactica, one of the things that I really remember is after that War of the Gods episode with Ibley, I think it really went downhill.
I stopped watching after that because there's no reason to watch it.
They got rid of the Cylons,
absolutely.
And they didn't show up till the season ending or season finale. But it was sort of like they were constantly trying to develop a way of capturing an audience, and nothing was working after a while.
Well, I think the expenses of that original show ran out of control, and that's why they had Baltar get captured. They take the Cylons out. It saved them a chunk of money right there.
Right.
And they turn into a Planet of the Week, you know, where they have, you know, the one Cylon is the sheriff in that town. It's like, he's like Sheriff Lobo. I'm like, oh, no. And then they had, you know, all these goofy episodes, you know.
Yeah, they were goofy.
Yeah, and then the only thing that was any kind of originality was when they had the Ship of the Lights come back, you know, with the lights. That was somewhat original.
And then Edward Mulhair played sort of like Dean Stockwell character, sort of like Quantum Leap because Richard Hatch was in the image of whoever was on that planet. It was sort of, in fact, Belisario wrote that one, and that served as a premise to his Quantum Leap series.
Yeah, and interesting that the price that show is getting out of control, and I think that's why they Larson tried to save money by getting rid of the Cylons and cutting down on Baltar,
right.
John Colicos' contributions to the series. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. And any other big news before we let you go?
Not really.
No.
just waiting for January 6th. Show up.
Yeah,
know?
Now they've taken Galactica off the schedule over the last couple weeks, is that right? Because on a Friday they had like Ghost Hunters on in its place or something.
Yeah,
and
I think it's because it's such there's not too many standalone episodes that people would probably, unless it's the fans, people would probably get lost.
Why don't they rerun the Lowdown or something like that? The series Lowdown, I'd rerun that in the time slot or something. You
maybe
know?
They're thinking that by not showing Galactica,
build interest,
get more an audience when it comes back.
Now
the real test now with the ratings is to compare the ratings now in this batch of 10 with those 13 episodes, because Galactica never aired in summer outside of this last summer, so it was really hard to compare it to anything. You know?
Yeah, so at least now you have something to match it up against. And usually the series ages unless they keep freshening up with. Well, they have. They've added some characters to it. So,
but my guess is now that all the new shows have worn off on people on the major networks, people are going to be gravitating more towards sci-fi on Friday night.
Yeah. Now, Mike the Sea told me to ask you, where is your Atlanta thing being held, to quote him exactly?
It's going to be at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis Hotel.
Oh, that's a very she hotel in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
You're about a stone's throw from the CNN Center. You have to go in there and say hi to Kira Phillips for me.
Really?
And give her feel her up a little bit for me. No, she's hot. You ever watch her on Live From on CNN? Holy crap. She is. Oh, my Lord. I love watching the news with her. And, excellent. Now, how many days is this going to run?
It's going to go from Wednesday through Saturday, the day before Easter.
Very cool, very cool.
Yeah.
And now, if you can have a panel, I'd be glad to come down and moderate the panel discussion for you if you wish.
Really?
No, I'm going to steal your thunder. I'm still waiting for my invite to one of these Comic-Cons I'm supposed to be invited to so I can moderate a panel discussion with the cast members. I don't know what the hell happened to that invite, but I still haven't gotten my invite to come down and...
Don't they have a lot of them in California?
Yeah. They should have one damn here in the Plaza Hotel. They had a science fiction thing here, but no, not a mention of Galactica. But, I mean, I could panel discussion. I want to play my theme music as the convention. I come out to the convention people, you know? subject discussion. So, I don't know. We'll see. Well, Koenig, we'll let you go. We're down to our last minute of the program. And,
well, thanks
thank
for inviting
you.
Me back.
No problem. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica update with Dean Stockwell coming onto the program. And who the hell else is going to be on there? And we thank him for his contributions to the program. He was one of the first guests I had on. It was Galactica related. So it was real nice having him on again as we gear down towards the holidays. And then next week, of course, we'll have the regular stable on. We'll have, of course, Justin Gardner will be back from the Dunkelfint political blog, as well as he's also from the Moderate Voice political blog. And then the second hour will be representative from blogcritics.org. And Judy will be back with a sci-fi update with more anime update from Hong Buck. And thank Trencher for being in the studio with
hey,
us.
Hey, thank
Very
you.
Good. Whoa, that's our... And... tomorrow morning is Daily Noise from 10 to 12. Friday is Spank Wagon from 7 till 9 Pacific Time. And email subject number 2 discussion at lvrocks.com. Visit the blog at subject2discussion.com.